Well, that was just a sweet time in his presence. Amen. That was, you know, I find that so often we just go through life in a mundane way. We forget how complex it is. We forget how complex our life is. We forget how complex our Savior is. We forget how complex our existence is. And yet, somehow, as complex as everything is, we have such a simple access. It's so simple. We don't have to pay money for it. We don't have to work towards it. There's a simple access. And that's why we're here today. So I'm going to talk very briefly, and for those of you who have listened to me before, that's a stretch. I will try to be brief. But let me just comment on this. This past week, we celebrated Passover. We've always celebrated Passover in my family, you know, from a Christian side of it, not as a Jewish side, but a Christian side. And so I fashioned a bit of my talk today after a bit of the Passover tradition. And so what I'm going to do tonight is I'm just going to ask a series of three questions and read scripture through that. But I'm going to ask a series of three questions because in Passover, we always ask four questions. And the first question that we always ask in Passover is this: what makes tonight different than all the other nights? What makes tonight different than all the other nights? You know, we ask this for Passover, but tonight I'm going to ask you that about tonight, Good Friday. Why is this night different from all the other nights? And I'm going to pose these two replies. There are a lot of reasons, but I think for me, I think simply, so I want to think about it simply, and we look at, this night is different than every other night for these two reasons. One, we remember sacrifice. We remember Jesus' sacrifice for us. And two, we remember the cost of our salvation. Because our life cost something. There was a cost. So many of us know the story, but I'm just going to back it up. And I'm going to start right at Passover. Okay, so this is Jesus and his disciples. They're at Passover. Jesus is giving his last sermon to his disciples. He's, as a rabbi, he's doing his last teaching to the disciples. He's pouring everything out. Pretty much he's saying, listen, guys, I've lived with you. I've rubbed shoulders with you for 3 years, and this is everything I've got. I'm going to throw all at you right now. And, you know, to be honest, even though this isn't the first time they've heard this stuff, and this certainly isn't the first time they've wrestled with this stuff, they still weren't picking up what Jesus was laying down all the way. But he was still giving it out. And they were picking it up a little bit. And so there they are at the Passover. And Judas leaves, and Jesus goes with the rest of the guys into the Garden of Gethsemane, and he goes out to pray because he knows what's coming. He knows what's coming, and he doesn't hesitate. He doesn't change his actions. He doesn't slow down. He doesn't falter at all. He heads right into the storm. And he goes in knowing that he has to be strengthened by his Father. And so he goes into the garden and prays. And we all know the story. The disciples fall asleep because they've probably had a little too much to eat and a little too much wine at Passover. And they fall asleep. And, you know, eventually, Jesus is arrested. Judas comes in. He betrays him by a kiss on the cheek. Peter cuts off this kid's ear, and Jesus again does a healing right there. It's an amazing story, just that part, but it continues. Jesus peaceably goes with his captors. He goes. And he goes before the Sanhedrin, they can find no fault. He goes before Herod, they can find no fault. He goes before Pilate, they can find no fault. And yet, he's still in this position. He's still there. So, Pilate comes out, and he finds no fault with this man. And he doesn't want this blood, the blood of an innocent man on his head, because he knows what's up. He knows that this is not just an ordinary man. But what is he to do? So he offers it to him, Jesus, to the public, and says, I make a habit every year to release a prisoner. Would you like Jesus? They said, no, give us Barabbas. So here Jesus is. He's stuck, and this murderer goes free. And they abuse him. They whip him. They mock him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They wrap him in a purple robe, which is only for kings, because he's supposedly the king of the Jews. And then it comes to the moment of crucifixion. And so tonight, if you have your Bibles, if you want to read with me, we're going to be in Matthew 27, verse 32 is where we're going to start. And I'm going to read this passage. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. In other parts of the gospel, Jesus carried the cross quite a ways, and when he couldn't carry it anymore, they found the man from Cyrene. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull, and there they offered Jesus wine to drink, mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots, and sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Two robbers were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God. But no, he stayed there. He stayed there. He could have come down. He could have had a legion of angels come down, wipe everyone away. This was Jesus. This was the one who breathed creation into existence. And he stayed. He stayed. In the same way the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. He saved others, they said, but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now. Now if he wants him, for he said, I am the Son of God. And in the same way, the robbers who are being crucified next to him, as if they don't have other things to worry about, they also heaped insults on him. And then it continues. And from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? Which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing there heard this, they said, he's calling Elijah. And immediately one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine and vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. And the rest said, now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. And at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. See, I'm left reading that. I'm left reading that, and I think, how can we go on? How can we not be moved? And yet, we sit where we're at and we forget. So tonight, I ask you, why is tonight different than any other night? Because tonight, the veil was torn. And we now have access to God the Father. Now, the second question is this. why did he have to die? And why did he have to die such a gruesome death? The answer is simply this, in two parts. One, we put him there. See, God, when he made his creation, he didn't want to be separated from it. He didn't make a creation just so he could discard it. If you're a craftsman, you know what it's like to love the thing that you've created. But this was more than just a craft. He created us to be in him or in his presence. And we messed it up. And so we were born into this. We were born separated. But God, in his love, in his mercy, wanted to redeem us. He wanted us to be in his presence, not because he needed us, but because he loved us so much. So the second thing that put Jesus on the cross was God's great love. Tyler read it today, Romans 5:8. In that while we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. Third question is this: what does that mean for us now? Now, there are multiple answers to this. Because if you don't know Jesus, it might not mean anything. But if you feel that stirring in your soul and you don't know Jesus, this is a moment when your life will never be the same, where tonight may be different than all other nights. Because we now have access to God through Jesus' blood. Through a pure and spotless lamb, we have access to God. And for those of us who believe, this night means everything to us. This is everything. And to everything, there's a season. So tonight, we're celebrating Good Friday. We're remembering. You know, I'm wearing black tonight on purpose, not because it was just what was clean and on my floor, or not on my floor. This really is a moment where we soberly remember the cost. And we soberly remember our Savior and what he did for us. But Sunday, we're going to come here and we're going to praise a victorious king who is not beaten by death, hell, and the grave, but has beaten it. But tonight, we remember. See, tonight, we're going to take communion here in a moment. We're going to take communion here in a moment. And if the worship team wants to come up, and if those who are serving communion would like to come down, we're going to get ready to do that. And we're going to take communion because we want to remember. And because Jesus told us to. He said, when you gather, do this in remembrance of me until I return. And so as we take communion, we take this soberly, recognizing our sin. And I would entreat you, those things that you're holding on to, that you act like God can't see, lay them before him, because he is a gracious God. He is a God who is willing to die for you. So he is a God who is willing to take your sins and cast them aside. And if this is a moment when you don't know Jesus, but you say, this is what I want, this can be a declaration. By you taking this cup in this body the first time, you can be saying, Jesus, I trust you. I believe you are God, and I will give my whole life to you. Forgive me, because I am a sinner. That's what this can mean. Will you pray with me? Lord, from birth, we don't deserve anything. And yet, while we are still sinners, you came. And yet, even in our mother's womb, you made us. You know how many hairs are on our head? You love us. So we come to you tonight grateful. We come to you tonight in reverence and honor. We come to you tonight submitting our lives to you, Lord Jesus, King. You are King. You are King of our hearts. You are King of this church. You are King of the universe. You are King of all creation. And so tonight, we worship you. Thank you.